something to happen to force us to that point where we need to go to that time of silence and solitude, to go to that mountain of God. If something happens in our life that forces us to get there in ways that we've never had to before, times of dependence and humility. And maybe it's something that forces us there so that we can remove ourselves from the busyness and the self-sufficiency and actually hear what God has to say to us. Well, our story says that angels feed Elijah and strengthen him for this journey to Mount Horeb, the mountain of God, the same mountain, by the way, where Moses saw God. Spiritually, physically, Elijah must go on, but he's kaput. He's tired. He is worn out. He's out of gas. Even so, God ensures that he must go on. In our most desperate and lonely times in life, that's when the Lord leads us to his mountain to be alone with us for a while. Has he ever done that with you? Taking you to the mountain to be alone with you for a while? Elijah's giving up, but secondly, he discovers there's revelation in the Lord's presence. Verses 9 through 14, there's revelation in the Lord's presence. It's interesting, the angel shows up twice. The Lord asks a question to Elijah twice, and Elijah answers two times as well, the same way. And the Lord asks Elijah in verse 9, "What are you doing here? What are you doing here, Elijah? So far away from God, so far away from the promised land, so far away from God's calling on his life. What are you doing here?" And as miraculous as it may seem to us, the angel's appearance and the food that just showed up by his head when he woke up, right? It didn't seem to make a difference in his life, or at least his way of thinking, because he responds to the Lord in verse 10. "Well, I've been very zealous for the Lord God Almighty. The Israelites have rejected your covenant, torn down your altars, put your prophets to death with the sword. I'm the only one left, and now they're trying to kill me too. All my work has been in vain," he says. "I've been working and working and working hard for the Lord." It sounds like the older brother in the story of the New Testament, the prodigal son. "No one else cares about the things of God like I do." And that, by the way, is a good sign that you're in trouble when you think you're the only person who really and truly cares about the things of God, loves God. God is silent until he says, "Come to the mountain. Come to the mountain of God, the mountain of revelation. Get a new perspective on life. Get a new perspective, a God's eye, a God's bird's eye view of things for a while." The Lord says in verse 11, "Go out and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by." And after Elijah is told to stand in the Lord's presence, the Bible says that a great and powerful wind tore the mountains apart and shattered the rocks, but the Lord wasn't in that wind. And after the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord wasn't in the earthquake. And after the earthquake came a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. A violent wind, an earthquake, a fire, all symbols of God's presence throughout the scriptures, but the Lord wasn't in them this time. Elijah needed to hear the Lord in a different way. Then Elijah hears the gentle whisper. He knew this was the Lord, which is why he pulls the cloak over his face as he comes out of the cave, an act of worship. And again, God asks, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" And the Lord reveals himself in that still small voice of a gentle whisper. But we avoid the silence, don't we? We fear of what the Lord might say, where he might take us, what he might want us to do. The Lord may have to take us to a place of silence and solitude for a while to deal with stuff before we can go on. He may have some form of healing for us there on the mountain of God. "Go out," the Lord says, "stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord." And after he asks the question, "What are you doing here?" what does Elijah say? The exact same thing he already said, right? I've been very zealous for the Lord God Almighty. He's been saying this over and over again. You ever get this negative self-talk in your mind? It just keeps going over and over again. I think Elijah's been saying this nonstop. I've been very zealous for the Lord God Almighty. The Israelites have rejected your covenant, broken down your altars, put your prophets to death with the sword. I'm the only one left, and they're trying to kill me too. I can't do it, he says. And all this is true. He can't do it. The angel says this is too much for him. God doesn't try to deny it, all those things that are happening, those things that other people are doing. Yeah, it's all, God doesn't deny it. He doesn't even acknowledge the complaint, really. God is silent on Elijah's complaint. In essence, God is saying, it doesn't matter. If it looks like the sky is falling from your perspective, Elijah, you follow me. You trust me. It doesn't matter if you're the only Christian in the classroom. You follow me. If it doesn't matter if you think that you're the only one that cares about the things of God in the workplace, no, you trust me. Other people may be doing all sorts of things. You may be hearing all sorts of bad news and the TV at night, but you trust me. You follow me. You don't say it's over until I say that it's over. Do you think you are in God's position, that you see the big picture of things, Elijah? Do you think you're God? You don't say that it's over. So next, the Almighty God of the universe tells Elijah, and I think he tells us too, verses 15 through 18, keep going. You're not alone. You're not done yet. Keep going. Without even acknowledging Elijah's complaint, the Lord tells him in verse 15 and following, go back the way you came. Reverse your retreat. Go back the way you came. What are you doing here, Elijah? Go back the way you came. It reminded me of a movie that I've seen called The Patriot, starring Mel Gibson, and one of the great battle scenes where the troops are advancing. The soldier falls and dies, and he's the one holding the flag. And so Mel Gibson's character grabs the flag, he picks it up, and he runs forward, but he sees his other troop. The troops are falling back. They're retreating. So he runs up onto a high hill, and he's waving the flag, and he's saying, reverse your retreat, hold the line, hold the line. And the troops get inspired and they turn and they follow and they re-engage in the battle again. Well, in our story, 1 Kings chapter 19, the Lord commands or recommissions Elijah to hold the line in his culture. He commands Elijah to anoint Hazael king over Aram, Jehu king over Israel, and he tells him to go anoint his successor, Elisha. Maybe you only see the wicked corruption, Elijah. Maybe you only hear the bad news when you watch the TV at night. Maybe you only see darkness sometimes, Elijah. But keep this in mind, Yahweh God is in control of world events. God moves the hands and the hearts of kings and presidents and prime ministers, and he even diverts the plans of terrorists. God wants his servants to be part of his work in the world too. What are you doing here, Elijah? Go back the way you came. Go back to the promised land. Go back to the people of Israel. For I have not abandoned them, God is telling him. I have not left them alone. I have not abandoned my covenant that I've made with their ancestors either. Hold the line, Elijah. Hold the line in your wicked culture. Bring the word of the Lord. Continue to minister in love. Continue to witness to my reign and rule over the world. Hold the line. Don't give up. Don't give up. In the presence of the Lord, Elijah receives renewed strength, renewed energy, a renewed commission to his calling in life to carry out God's mission. And he also receives a new perspective, a heavenly perspective regarding his life. To a man who is just like us, as the Bible says in the letter of James, Elijah receives revelation that he is not alone and that in the Lord and with God's people, he has all that he needs. He's not the only one who cares about the things of God. He's not the only one doing ministry in Israel. God tells Elijah, he says, "For I reserve 7,000 in Israel, all whose knees have not bowed down to Baal, and all whose mouths have not kissed him." You're not alone, Elijah. Don't just rely upon your human eyesight. God is at work in ways you cannot see. He's still up to something in your life. And I believe that's true for us too, that God is still up to something in our lives. And I believe this renewed vision to see beyond just the physical, to see beyond just what's in front of us, is something that was passed on to his successor, Elisha, right? Remember the story of 2 Kings 6, where the city was surrounded, and I preached on this, the city is surrounded, and Elisha prays that his servant's eyes are open, and he sees the fiery chariots, and he sees the fiery army, that there's more to this world than just what we see before us. This vision of Elijah, that he gets the mountain of revelation, this mountain of God, it gets passed on as well. I think this is a good message for all of us, to keep going, to don't give up, to trust God, that we're not alone, we're not done yet. God is still up to something in our lives. The Lord's not always in the flurry of activity, the things that we do, in the noise of our lives. Sometimes we need to stand in the presence of the Lord for a while and wait. To wait in silence and solitude. Wait for that gentle whisper, that still small voice. And it's there in the silence and in the quiet and even in the desperation for God that we receive renewed strength and power and refreshment to keep on keeping on, fulfilling God's call in our lives, trusting God every step of the way, and holding the line, advancing the kingdom. May it be so. Would you pray with me? Father God, give us boldness and courage to be your strong witnesses in our culture, in our families, in our schools, and in our workplaces. Forgive us for not changing and permitting your transformative power to take hold in our lives. Move in us again with a fresh wind of your Spirit, we pray. As we are still and in silence and meditation and prayer and fasting through this upcoming Lenten season, may you refresh our spirits, renew our hope, and reinvigorate our efforts to advance the gospel of Jesus Christ throughout this city and throughout the world. For it's in Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen.